Good morning. Today it is exactly 15 years after that terrible day when America came under attack by Osama bin Laden and 2,966 lives were lost in the collapse of the Twin Towers. Of that number, 2,606 were killed in the World Trade Center and the surrounding areas. 265 on the plains and 125 at the Pentagon. You'll remember the four planes which were brought down. More than 6,000 people were injured, and the estimated number of children who lost a parent was over 3,000. I believe you had a moment of silence already, haven't you? Yes, okay. What a dark day that was. And what a terrible darkness set in with the global terrorism that has followed with the activities of ISIS. The beheading of innocent people. The burning alive of multiple captured victims. The merciless beatings. Rape. And sex slavery. But where does all of this end, this seemingly endless darkness? All I know is what the Bible tells me in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And ever since that day, the Spirit of God has been bringing light into the darkness of human hearts and hidden motives. And that light has the capacity to bring radical change in the hearts of all those who surrender themselves to it. And that is why the Apostle Paul so confidently declared in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." How well many of you know those words. And yet, in today's Christian church, those words appear to have been forgotten or conveniently ignored. And so all is not well in Christendom. You see, if people are truly in Christ, their entire lives are subject to radical change. They are now new creatures who have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. And their old way of life has been left behind. And a new way of thinking and behaving has come. Now, we're not talking about sinless perfection. We are sinners, saved by grace daily confessing our sins and empowered once more to continue growing in Christ. So, my friends, we are involved in a continuing, radical, permanent change. But if it ceases to remain radical, it means that stagnation has set in and we have cooled off. But the question is, how are we enabled to continue being the radical Christians that Jesus has called us to be? The answer comes to us in John's Gospel in chapter 1, verse 12, where it says, "As many as received him," that is Jesus, "as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God." Notice those words, the right. The right to become the children of God. The right. The Greek word is exousia, which means authority. In other words, the authority to become the children of God. So then, the fact is that in trying to live as radical Christians, we are not left struggling passively trying to win. We are empowered to win. And that is how, by grace, we are empowered to remain radically alive in Christ. That is how the light of God in that creation story penetrated the darkness in human hearts and continues to do so in today's church. But to remain in Christ is not a natural quality among Christians. No Christian is saved because he or she is a naturally good person. No, we are saved because we are by nature bad at the core, but have the God-given power to undergo a daily strengthening and renewal by the grace that is in Christ. I think that by now you are all realizing where I'm going with all of this. I'm saying that there are a multitude of programs in this church. Although there are a multitude of programs in this church, all is not necessarily well. And as is the case in any rapidly growing church, we have church members jockeying for position, wanting to be leaders over others, fellow believers criticizing others behind their backs. And as a result, we find anger and hurt feelings. And all of this is generally evident among excessively zealous and competitive people, which happens in any fast-growing church. People are zealous. It's fast-growing because they're zealous. But what is most disturbing of all is when things start getting dirty and the godly standards of morality and decency are being eroded right inside the church. And what disturbs me the most is when I become aware that there are so-called Christians indulging in sex outside of marriage. I don't want to talk about this, but I feel God has constrained me to do it. Christians, so-called Christians, indulging in sex outside of marriage. This, I believe, is what the Holy Spirit has constrained me to focus on today. I believe that right here, In this church, there are a number of individuals who are indulging in sex outside of marriage. And so this is what God would have me say to you. If you are one of these individuals, you are flying in the face of God Himself. God's standards have not changed. His standards have not changed in order to keep in step with modern permissiveness. And the fact is that if you as an individual continue in sex outside of marriage, you are no better than any other hell-bound sinner. In the first letter of the Apostle John, chapter 3, verse 7 through 8, he says, "Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices sin is of the devil." That verb "practices" in the Greek is in the present tense, obviously. But present tense verbs in Greek always are continuous in meaning. So the one who practices sin and continues to practice sin is of the devil. So what this means then, if, God forbid, you are unfortunate enough to be killed in a car wreck tonight, you will end up in hell. It makes no difference whether you are in church every Sunday, whether you are a leader of some kind in a church program. None of this can help you. You are on your own and will face Jesus on your own. You see, I believe that Jesus will say to you what he said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 through 23. He says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" But the wonderful truth is that none of this has to be. In just a few moments in time, you can repent. You can ask Jesus to forgive you. And then you must do this one thing. Stop doing what you have been doing. Either abstain from sex until you are married, or terminate that relationship. I want to give you an example. I remember a situation in the Full Gospel Church in Pinetown, South Africa, Pentecostal church. There was a young couple who started attending our church. They got saved. And it was then that they told the pastor of the church that they were not married and were living together. Now, since they truly loved each other, they asked the pastor to immediately marry them, which he gladly did. So then, my friend, let's all remember that we're all sinners. Being saved by grace, who live in the security of knowing that Jesus will return to confront all the evil, violence, and chaos which is threatening human existence and which we have become so aware of in recent years. Just two words summarize everything that I have said. They're up there. Get ready. Whatever is wrong in our lives, by the grace of God, let's fix it, and all will be well. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for that salvation which you have procured for us by your death and your resurrection. We thank you, Lord, that you are alive, that you're here now, that you see everything, you hear everything. There is nothing hidden from you. Even if we hide in the closet, you still see in there. You can see everything. You see us when we wake up in the morning. You see us when we go to bed at night. You know it all. We cannot hide it from you. And so we ask, Lord God, that you would draw near to us and give us strength to live in a way which will glorify you, in a way which will draw others to Christianity, because they can see that there is someone alive in us who can bring lasting and permanent change in human life. And so, Father, I commit each person here to you, to your love, your goodness, and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.